I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey legends, sorry we had some trouble uploading this podcast this morning. We actually uploaded our draft review twice. So here's our 2006 Aussie Schoolboys review. Sorry for the inconvenience, guys.
Down the blind, Andrew John. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle have won.
We had our full review the other day of the 2011 Australian Schoolboys side. I got a lot of messages for a number of years to go through, and a lot of the people asking for was the early and mid-2000s. So I thought I'd go through the 2006 Australian Schoolboys side. Some really, really interesting guys that are in this side. First man that stands out for me is Luke Capewell. Obviously played for South Sydney, a couple of other clubs. Really handy outside back from Redcliffe State High. You remember Luke Capewell from that incident where... the referee got knocked out when Tony Carroll fed him a knee. Luke Capewell was the man running away from for South Sydney that night. Really handy footballer, had a fantastic career, Luke Capewell. One of those guys that probably only played 50-odd first grade games. I think South Sydney, Gold Coast, maybe Brisbane, I want to say. Probably retired 8 or 9 years ago now, but a really handy footballer, really versatile sort of guy, Luke Capewell, a guy I had a lot of time for. The next man from Marsden State High, Israel Folau, obviously burst onto the scene for the Melbourne Storm, was unbelievable, went to State of Origin, went to the Kangaroos, did the exact same thing, moved up to Brisbane, and then became the billboard for the new AFL franchise. So he went over there, he then went to Union, he's had some controversial opinions, but... there's no doubt that as a footballer, especially in rugby league, he was unbelievable. That first season he burst onto the scene for the Melbourne Storm, that was an unbelievable debut season. I still think it's heavily underrated amongst other debutants. That season was incredible. The amount of tries that Israel Folau scored that year, I want to say 22, 23, he was unbelievable. He played 52 games for the Melbourne Storm over those 2 years. He scored 36 tries. Just unbelievable. He then went to the Broncos. He played 39 games for the Broncos and scored 37 tries. Simply amazing. He then went to Union, won the John Eales Medal or Award or whatever the hell it's called. For someone that came from rugby league, then went to AFL, then went to Union. Pretty impressive there. The next man is from Marist Catholic College over at the North Shore. That's Liam Foran, of course, the brother of Kieran Foran. Played a couple of first grade games, Liam Foran. Not as many as his brother, obviously, but I want to say probably played 30-odd first grade games. Had a stint at the Melbourne Storm. He was at the Manly Seagulls. I think he went over to England as well. Much like his brother, very tough. Very handy little footballer. Probably should have played more than what he did, to be perfectly honest with you. The next man is David Haller. Now, this is a guy that played for the Broncos for about 5 or 6 years. Second row forward, front row forward. Probably haven't seen him for 5 or 6 years. Another guy that probably played 40 or 15 games. I think he played for Tonga as well. Handy little footballer coming out there from the Southern Cross College. The next guy, probably one of the more successful guys to come out of this group, was, of course, Chris Lawrence. Now, Chris Lawrence, this was in 2006. Now, you need to pinch yourself when you think about this. He made Australian Schoolboys in 2006. 2005, West Tigers have the grand final, and there's the potential that Paddy Richards could be ruled out during the week. And of course, when you think about that, obviously Paddy Richards played a crucial role in that grand final, especially in a moment that we will never forget. He scored that unbelievable try off the Benji Marshall flick, a moment in rugby league history that will stay with everyone forever. There was a good chance he was going to get ruled out, and what the Tigers were going to do was going to play Chris Lawrence in his debut game in that grand final. So that was the year before he played Australian schoolboys. So 17, 18 years old, making your debut in an NRL grand final would have been unbelievable. Thankfully, Pat Richards was able to take the field, so Chris Lawrence didn't play in that game. But Chris Lawrence, an unbelievable stalwart, probably one of the best West Tigers players we've ever seen. More than 253 games for them. Played for the Kangaroos, never played State of Origin, but played a handful of tests for the Kangaroos in around the 2010 to 2012 period, probably the end of 2010 when the Tigers were playing good footy. An unbelievable footballer and a champion like Chris Lawrence. Speaking of champion fellows, the next one, right up there with the very, very best of them, Timmy Manor, a legend of the Parramatta Eels, played more than, I want to say, close to 250, definitely more than 200 games for the Parramatta Eels over 10 years, was the captain of the club for a very long time, played State of Origin, was sensational in the Origin Arena. I always thought this guy was very underrated, one of the nice guys of rugby league, Timmy Manor, a real champion locker room guy too, from what I've gathered. Now, there's two guys I want to touch on in this squad that didn't play a heap of first grade. The first one is Will Matthews. Now, Will Matthews made his debut in 2008 for the Titans, went to the Dragons for a number of years, played about 50-odd first grade games for the Dragons between, I want to say 2013 and 2017, then returned to the Gold Coast Titans. And I guess he's a guy that really slipped under the radar, Will Matthews. Played over 100 first grade games, which is an incredible effort. The thing I want to say about him, though, is that he's from a small town in New South Wales called Kyogle. And Kyogle, very rich rugby league town, only a few thousand people that live there. And he was a junior coming through at the Kyogle Turkeys. And for a small town to produce one Australian schoolboy was impressive. For them to produce two Australian schoolboys in 2006 was unbelievable, and the other man they produced was Shannon Walker. Now, some of you might remember Shannon Walker. He only played a handful of games for the Gold Coast Titans, and for me, Shannon Walker is one of the best players I've ever seen to not have a career. He was unbelievable. Another guy out of Kyogle, an Indigenous player, he was an absolute superstar. He went and played some rugby union as well. I think he played some Australian sevens and whatnot. I think he played quite a bit of Australian sevens, but he was unbelievable. Him and Will Matthews coming from this same small town to make Australian schoolboys in the same year. I believe they were both going to Palm Beach, Currumbin at the time. An incredible effort from a small town that I grew up going to quite a bit with some family and stuff there. And those two, they came through absolute stars and all the way to Australian schoolboys, both played first grade. An incredible effort for me. The next man is Joseph Paulo. Now, obviously, Joseph Paulo, Penrith Panthers, Parramatta Eels, Cronulla Sharks as well. Then I'm pretty sure he went over to England. I think he might have even played some rugby union as well. Just a loose sort of forward, lock, second row with a heap of ball skills. A guy that we probably never saw the absolute best out of. I think he would have played for City, and I've got a feeling he played an NRL All-Stars as well one time. And he's one of those guys that he could just produce anything at any moment. Consistency probably lacked with Joseph Paulo, but I can imagine when he was a schoolboy with the skill set he had and the body he had, he would have been an unreal footballer at that age, Joseph Paulo. The next man, another man out of Palm Beach, Currumbin, had an unbelievable NRL career. It is, of course, Kevin Proctor. More than 250 games. I think he played his 250th last year. Started off at the Melbourne Storm, won some premierships there, played in a couple of grand finals, would have been 09. 2012, and then 2016, I think, was his last game against the Cronulla Sharks. So 180 first grade games for the Melbourne Storm. Went up to the Gold Coast Titans. I reckon he's probably played 80 or so. He's now the captain of the Gold Coast Titans. True leader in our game, Kevin Proctor. He's done sensationally well, of course. Has represented New Zealand on a number of occasions now as well. Probably 20-odd test matches there for Kevin Proctor. So his career has definitely kicked on. He's been sensational. The next man I'm going to touch on, one of my favourite players ever out of Marsden High, Chrissy Sando. He was the halfback in this side, and him at this age, he was unbelievable. He obviously went on to play more than 200 first grade games. About 150 first grade games in the NRL across the South Sydney Rabbitohs and the Parramatta Eels. Some of the highlights he had was simply unbelievable. Chrissy Sando wasn't the most consistent player, wasn't the most reliable player. He was either the best on the field or the worst on the field at times, Chrissy Sando. But when he was on, my God, he could just do things that no one else could. I'm not sure if I've ever seen a player hit a field goal better than Chris Sando. He was great, and he'd get up in the face of the big forwards, put on big shots, and I just love the way Chrissy Sando went about his business. I lost count of how many multis he lost for me, but sensational footballer, a guy that I always love to watch, Chris Sando. Last two guys I'm going to touch on. Joel Thompson was also in this side. Joel Thompson, of course, a fantastic career, kicked off at the Canberra Raiders, moved to the Dragons, then the Manly Seagulls, more than 200 first grade games. I believe he's over at St. Helens now. A number of injuries across a number of clubs that probably kept his game count down a little bit. I'm just looking at his stats now. Never played more than 90 games for a club, but never played less than 50 either. So just a real loyal clubman that just bounced around and just did a job each and everywhere that he ran. I remember watching him burst on the scene at Canberra Raiders more as a centre than a second rower, and as his career goes on, he became a premier second rower. And I think the Manly Seagulls, they are really missing a guy like him in their squad at the moment. He's over there at St. Helens. I'm sure he's going to do fantastic things. He's had a couple of scares off field and whatnot, but he's always been a brilliant leader, a guy I've always had a lot of respect for. And the last man from this 2006 side I'm going to talk about, Aidan Tolman. Aidan Tolman has played close to 300 games. If he plays on this year and gets through next year, he could potentially hit the 300 game mark, which is simply incredible. When you think that he was at the Melbourne Storm in the 2009 team, he was one of the guys that was forced out in 2010 because of the salary cap. He then moved to Canterbury, and he played more than 200 first-grade games for Canterbury. Simply unreal. He's sitting on 280 games now. What is it, round four? If Cronulla were to play every single game and he plays all of them, he might even get to the 300 this year, especially if they play finals footy. But he has to stay completely injury-free, and he has to stay in this team full stop. There's going to be a lot of hungry mouths to feed over there at Cronulla once this team is in their, once this team has their full squad back. It would be fantastic to see a toiler like him make it to the 300 game club. I think he well and truly deserves it. He's been so consistent for so long, Aidan Tolman. One of my favourite front rowers in the modern era. Played a number of games for New South Wales country, never got to represent New South Wales in State of Origin. You'd have to think that that time has probably gone past him, but played in the 2009 premiership winning side for the Melbourne Storm. 2010 had to leave, arrived at Canterbury, played in, I think, two grand finals for Canterbury. Didn't get to lift the trophy there, unfortunately. Made his way to the Cronulla Sharks this year, and I think he's become a real leader there. He's been a leader at the Canterbury Bulldogs for a long time. Going to Cronulla, I'm sure there's a lot of young forwards that will really appreciate the guidance and some of the lessons they can learn from the experience of Aidan Tolman. Obviously been through a number of quality systems in the Melbourne Storm and the Canterbury Bulldogs during those early 2010s. Sensational footballer who has done some unbelievable things in our game. Big fan of Aidan Tolman, always will be. That 2006 side, that is one hell of a lineup. I'd love to know their record. I assume they would have done really well. There's actually one more guy I haven't mentioned, and the reason why I haven't mentioned him is because he played in 2 years. So he played in 2005 and 2006. It is, of course, Mitchell Pearce. So he came back for his second year in 2006 to play in Australian Schoolboys out of the Marist Catholic College over at the North Shore. Really impressive from Pearce to play 2 years of Australian Schoolboys. I'm trying to think, 2006, for Mitchell Pearce to be playing Australian Schoolboys, then had he already played first grade? No, he played first grade in 2007. Wow. So, yeah, Pearce, he obviously joined the 300 game club a couple of weeks ago. Sensational for Pearce. As I said then, you know, a guy that came through with a lot of pressure. Obviously, the last name that he had made his life extremely difficult. I think he played a bit of Union when he was growing up as well. Found his way into the Tigers system, then ended up over there at the Roosters. Was in the Roosters system the whole time, I believe. But, yeah, a fantastic guy, a guy that I've got a lot of respect for. He's made a lot of mistakes, but he's always owned up to his fuck-ups, and I think that's been sensational for Pearcey. And to look back at him playing 2 years of Australian Schoolboys, pretty impressive. Not many guys get to play 2 years of Australian Schoolboys. Not an easy feat to do. To play when you're in year 11, very impressive. To back it up the year after as well, there'd be a lot more pressure on you, a lot more people watching you. Very impressed from Mitchell Pearce. This 2006 side, they would have been one hell of a footy team.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics, all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.